What a great privilege
it is for me to be back again in Safe Harbor. Every time I come, I look forward to be with you and share this time with you. Again, I have to tell you, this is my third time, but I have to confess that my English is going to be, again, crazy accent with a lot of French. I'm going to murder your grammar, your vocabulary, and all that. But I said that before, and I'm saying it again. We are in a Presbyterian church. We believe in grace. There are a lot of grace flowing in this place. And so thank you for having me. I came, I was here on Monday, actually on Tuesday, and I brought with me my children. They are not here yet. They will be in the second service. My wife and my three children, Samuel, Rachel, and Nathaniel. We went to Washington, D.C., and experienced for the first time what it is to be in a free country. And you guys are blessed. I think we need to continue to pray that the Lord will use this country as a beacon for the world. I never see anything like it. You know, when I see more than 200,000 people flowing to the how do you call it, National Mall to experience this 4th of July, that was a wonderful thing for me. I'll take it back to Togo and let my dictator president know that there is a free country to learn from. So it is a great privilege for me to be here. This morning I wanted to draw your attention to something that is very dear to us, the Word of God. It comes from the book of Acts, and I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you will, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11. We will be settling in from verse 19 through 30, the book of Acts. Then we will jump a little bit further to Acts chapter 13, and we will read from the first three verses. Let read the Word of God and then ask the Lord to bless His Word. Book of Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 30. Now, those who have been scattered by the persecution in a connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jew. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. The disciples were called Christian first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine will spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Now go back to chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, while they were worshiping in the Lord, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they have fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Let us pray just for a moment. Father, we acknowledge that you are present here this morning. And you are going to speak to us. You are so close to us. So close as the breath we can breathe this morning. You are not so far away as people will think. You are very present here. And you speak to us. Speak to us. So we may be better people who will take your church and be a light around the world. May you do that this morning. I hide behind the cross and the old rugged cross, and I want you to be the one, only one who will speak through me. I pray that you will speak your word plainly and boldly to me, to your people this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one of the questions I have been asking myself is, what it is to have a great church? I've been asking that ever since I know that I was going to be here and share the word of God this morning. I asked myself, now, what if today, this morning, they ask you in this building, if your church a great church, what would you respond? What would be your response? A great church. What does that mean? If the great church is a safe harbor, Presbyterian church is defined by being a church with a good worship team or what else? By being having a good musician, that defined a church as a great church. What defined a church as a great church? If the greatness of a church is defined by the fact that you guys dress nicely with a tie, or I don't see anybody dressing with a tie here this morning except the worship leader, or the music that we sing is a great church, is defined by the fact that we have a great leader or great leadership. Your pastor, he come and speak and preach a good message. Or your elders, they come and take care of you. They pray every day for the church, the deacons, the great church. What defines the church as a great church? If the great church is defined in the fact that we come and collect a lot of money and do a lot of things with it, those are the questions I've been asking myself. Well, is the great church is defined in the fact that we have a nice structure? You know, if you go to Togo, which is the place I come from, you will worship under the tree. But is the great church is defined in the fact that we have an AC, air conditioning in the room, the sound system is good, the chair are not too high, too short, or the carpet is nice, the color, everything. What defined the church a great church? Well, recently I was in Jacksonville, and I went to visit a church. This is a huge church. It's actually a mall. In this church, you have a place where you can drink coffee, you can eat, you can do whatever, and the music is going on. And they have a place for parking. They have everything is good. It's perfect, neat, and clean. And I ask the people, do you like your church? And the people say, yes, this is a great church. Now, I steal this a quote from a friend of mine who also stole it from someone. He said, a great church And I love this quote. It comes from someone called Mike Statura. He said, a great church is not defined by its seating capacity. Instead, it's defined by its sending capacity. I like that. A great church is not defined by its seating capacity, instead by its sending capacity. This morning, though, I want us to look at this church called the church in Antioch and trying to see what God did through this church to become a great church, to become a sending church. And by doing so, we will apply it to our life in the 21st century so that we can also become not only a sending church, but a great church. You remember very well that the Pentecost is already taking place. And Peter, in his famous sermon, preached a powerful sermon, and the Lord drew 3,000 people. Can you imagine coming here with my crazy accent and preach a message and 3,000 people come to this church? But that's what Peter did, and God did through Peter. And all of a sudden, the church started. And God began to bless the church. But here is the thing. Jesus said to his disciples that you shall be my witnesses. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all around the world. But what's happened is, all of a sudden, the apostles have 3,000 people in their hands, and they don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, they forget all that Jesus said. Well, you don't supposed to be only in Jerusalem. Things begin to take place. Things begin to happen. They begin to enjoy the church with those 3,000. In fact, they enjoy so much that they begin even to quarrel. If you read it in chapter 4, chapter 5, you see that there was some kind of dispute between them. Then in chapter 7, something happened, a persecution broke out. You see it, and all of a sudden, people begin to leave. And when people begin to leave, some of them travel as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, and what they were doing is to preach the good news. Well, basically what they were doing, they were gossiping Jesus. Well, I don't know if the word gossip is a very good word, but basically that is what they were doing. They were going around and sharing the word of Christ with other people. They were telling people that this is a new era. Christ have come. God have broke into our world and reconciled the world into himself in the person of Jesus Christ, and that the message, the salvation is here, the peace is here, the joy is here. And people love that message and embrace that message. And so the church, they went all the way to Antioch, and the church started in Antioch. Now I have to remind you that this is going to be the first church in the New Testament where we see the Jew and the Gentiles coming together and worshiping together in the same room. Never happened before, because the Jew thought that their salvation, the message, the good news was only for them, and now it's going to change completely. The good news is going to be for all the people, Gentile and Jew, they're coming together and sitting in the same room and enjoying the message of salvation. This is also the first church where we are going to see for the first time that the Christianity is going to shift from Jerusalem to Antioch. The center of Christianity is going to shift completely, move from Jerusalem to Antioch. So things begin to happen in Antioch. Jerusalem is not the center anymore. Antioch becomes the center. Not only that, this is also the place where the first missionaries are going to be sent from Antioch around the world, not in Jerusalem. So God is doing some amazing thing. Things are happening. And all this message went back to the apostles. And they said, well, let's check it out. Let's go send Barnabas over there and see if this is true. So Barnabas went there, and sure enough, he find out that, well, something is happening. The Holy Spirit is at work in people's hearts. The Jews are coming to the Lord. The Gentiles are coming to the Lord. God is doing his work mightily in Antioch Church. And I believe we can take that example from Jerusalem to Antioch and see what the Lord have done through these people, through these disciples, and also apply it to our life today in the 21st century. So this morning, what I wanted to do, as we are sending these brothers and sisters to Romania or somewhere, whatever place they're going, I want us to see what are the marks, what are the things that this Antioch Church did to become a sending church. And by doing so, we applied it, we will apply it to our lives, to our church's lives, so we also can become a great sending church. Notice, this church in Antioch did something very marvelous. The first thing they did is that they began to raise some ordinary people to do some extraordinary things. The mark of a sending church, a great church, does an ordinary thing to use ordinary people to do an extraordinary things. And we see it in chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. So the question we must ask ourselves, who are these, some of them, the Bible is talking about? Was it just the apostles? Well, if you go back to Acts chapter 8, verse 1, you will see that when the persecution broke out, everybody was gone except who? The apostles. You will think by now that the apostles will get it. They have been eating with Jesus. They spend time with Jesus. They did everything with Jesus and still don't get it. Everybody was gone, and the people were going around and sharing the good news, except the apostle. You will think that the apostles will be the people who will be going around and share the good news. No, it was simply the ordinary people, the people who come to know Christ, you and I, who went around and begin to share the word of God. So the mark of a sending church is to use ordinary people, ordinary believers, to go around and share the word of God. So who are these ordinary people? Well, the text tells us in chapter 8, verse 1, that it was a people with no names. They are named people. People with no background. The Bible didn't even tell us clearly who are these people. The only thing we know was some of the people went to share the word of God. The people with no seminary degree, they didn't know how to preach from 3 points, the first point, the second point, or all the third point. They didn't know anything. They didn't have any degree. They didn't have any doctoral degree or anything like that. They are not the gurus of church planting gurus or anything like that. It was a simple people who had a burning or desire to go to share the word of God with other people. And so they went around and preached the good news and shared the good news with the people. So the mark of a great sending church is to raise first ordinary people, ordinary believers to go around the world, to go around our cities, our places, and share the good news with people. Now, I don't know about you. If you go to Togo and you wanted to start a church, you don't use ordinary people to start a church. What you use is to send someone who is a pastor, who already went to Bible school at least, or seminary degree, and you train him, you equip him, and say, okay, I want you now to go and share the word. I'm in Florida, and most of the time in Florida, in our presbytery, what's happened is when you are called to go to be a church planter, first of all, they will give you at least $400,000. You start from there. Then they will also equip you, make sure that you are a true pastor with a degree. Also, they will try to make sure that they equip you with a good worship leader. Or they will try to equip you with various people. And they will have a place for you where you can go and have a sanctuary, or I don't know how you call it, a chapel where people can easily come and worship. And that's how we start a church. But in this case, they don't do that. What they basically did is the hands of God was upon these people, this church called Antioch. The grace of God was upon them, so much so that these unnamed believers just decided with the burden, with the passion, that they are going to go and share the word of God with the people. And they did. And so these, some of them, these ordinary people had a vision to see the world become a place where Jesus can reign and rule over all the people. And I suggest to you that if we are going to be a sending church, a great church, that one thing we ought to be doing is to raise believers with no necessarily degree and send them and let them go, equip them and go so that they can be also a tool that God can use to bring a light to the nation. So if God used ordinary people, unnamed people, to bless the church in Antioch, I am saying that God can use you and I also to be a blessing to the people in this area. Amen? God can not only can use your pastors, your elders, but he can use you too. With all the tools you have, with all the knowledge you have, and send you or to go whatever place God is leading you to go, in your workplace, your marketplace, whatever place God is calling you to go, to be a light to the nations, to be a light to the people, to be a blessing to the people. One of the things that God did is that the Bible says that, and the grace of God was upon them. I love that. Because you can do everything with your knowledge if the grace of God, the hand of God is not on you, you cannot achieve what you're supposed to achieve. Only the grace of God, only the passion, only the power of God can be upon you so you can do what you're supposed to do. If God can use an ordinary, unnamed believers to start a church in Antioch, he can do it with us also here in Safe Harbor. And he can do it by starting from you. So not only God used ordinary people to start the church in Antioch, But also, God raises up ordinary leaders to start the church or to empower the church in Antioch. And we see it in chapter 13, verse 1. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. We see that in second, the another thing that God did is that he raises ordinary leaders, equip ordinary leaders to plant a church in Antioch. So that is another mark of a great church. Another mark of a great church is to raise ordinary leaders to plant churches. God is at work at this point. The church is growing. We know that Barnabas came and taught the church in Antioch. When he came, he found that the grace of the Lord was upon them. So he began to teach them. He began to equip them. And before you know, God began to identify people within the church that are called to become leaders. I know some people will say, well, listen, I don't have this skill. I don't have this gift. I can't do all these things that God people does, but you know, God is calling each one of us as leaders and show our skill so we can God can use our skill to bless the church, and that is exactly what God did through the church in Antioch. We see that there are few names that are mentioned here. The first name is Barnabas. We know that Barnabas is a great leader because when you go back in Acts chapter 4, it's mentioned that he was called an apostle of encouragement. Barnabas, the word Barnabas was, in fact, mean an encouragement. He was a man full of compassion. He was a man with encouragement. And everywhere he goes, he tried to find a place so he can encourage people. And he really did encourage people. So God raised in Antioch Church Barnabas to be a blessing to the church in Antioch. If you remember in Acts chapter 4, this man was full of compassion. And it says in Acts chapter 4 that his real name was Joseph. And it says that he was the first person who actually sold his property and brought the money under the feet of the apostle so they can use it to be a blessing to the church. Not only Jesus, God raised Barnabas to be a leader in the church, but God also raised another man called Simeon, and they call him Simeon of Niger. The reason why they call him Niger is because he's black. He's black like me. And God raised him. Now we see in this church, we see this become a multicultural church. It is not a church that is full with the Jew only, with the blacks or white only. You know, someone said, if you go to American church on Sunday, you will know that the church is so divided. You can only see blacks in their churches worshiping and doing whatever they're doing there. And you go to white churches, you see the same thing. You go to Spanish church, you see the same thing. But we see in Antioch church that there are all kinds of people. And the first thing we see here is Simeon. Simeon was a man from Africa. Well, some people say he comes from North Africa. Whether he comes from North Africa or not, we know that he was a black man. That's why they call him Niger. For the word Niger means, in Latin, means black. So we know that God raised him also to be leaders in the church. And so not only God raised Barnabas to be a man of compassion, he raised another man from another culture, like me, with a kind of crazy accent, like what you're doing right now. I can't even speak English very well. And yet, you are calling me your brother. And that is what God did through the church of Antioch. Not only God raised Barnabas and Simeon, He also raised Lucius. He's called Lucius because he's also come from North Africa. And God raised him also to be a leader in a church. Another influential leader that God called to be a blessing in the church. Not only that, God called Barnabas, Simeon, and Lucius. He called Manaen. And Manaen is also another leader. Manaen is a stepbrother of Herod the Tetrarch. So we know that not only God called rich people, but he also called poor people. Not only he called black people, he called also white people. Not only he called Spanish people, he called all kind of people with all kind of background to build his kingdom and to build his church called the church in Antioch. So God uses ordinary people, unnamed people, to be a blessing to the church, but also God uses various people with a various skill, raise them from within the church to be blessing to the church. I will imagine with this stepbrother of Herod the Tetrarch, I think that this man will have a lot of connection. And this connection will be a blessing for the church. So everywhere or everything that the church needs, they can go back to Manaen and say, Manaen, can you help us? We have a persecution here. Can you help us? Can you talk to your stepbrother for us? And it was a blessing for the church. And so I said, God raises an ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the church. God also raises ordinary leaders to do extraordinary leadership things in the church. Not only God raised all these people, but also raised another very important leaders we see in the church. It's called Saul. We know him became a Paul. And we know that this man was a serious, what I would call criminal person. Again, he was going around killing and torturing and bringing these Christians to the justice. I don't know if that was the justice because they won't give up in their belief in Christian belief. And God called him and raised him to become a leader. Saul was the man who was standing before when Steve was stoned to death. And yet, God is going to use this man and raise him to become a leader in the church. So this church is not only has been blessed with ordinary people who can do extraordinary things, but God also called ordinary leaders to do extraordinary work in the church. Now, you have to remember, not only these leaders are going to be a blessing to the church, they are going to have a great vision for the world. They are going to carry the world in their heart. They are going to be a light to the nations. And they are going to cause the church, the Antioch church, to go around the world and share the word with people. We know that later on, Barnabas and Paul, or Saul, will become missionaries that the church will send to go around the world and be a blessing to other churches. We have a church today everywhere, including my own church in Togo, because of what the leadership, the vision that these people have for the world. So if we are going to be a sending church, a great church, one thing we ought to do is to pray that the Lord will raise not only around the world, but here in our building here, to raise the brothers and sisters among us to be leaders, to lead us, to have a vision just like what we are doing right now. And I said in my note that God is calling ordinary believers to become extraordinary leaders. So we know the sending church, the mark of a sending church is to raise ordinary people to do extraordinary things, raise ordinary leaders to do, to become extraordinary leaders. The third thing is that God also called a sending church to be a church that will partner with other churches, with other people. Now, this might sound very weird to you, but if we see it in Acts chapter 13, verse 3, it says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This morning, what we have just witnessed is that Pastor Todd prayed for those who are going to Romania. He didn't lay hands on them, but what he did, he prayed and released them to go. Basically, what he was doing is saying that you are going, he said it in his word, you are going to represent us. We are sending you. You go as a Safe Harbor Presbyterian Church. Go build, go teach, go share, go do whatever you are doing. This is what we are doing. If you do it, you are doing in our name. We are calling you to go and do it. And so they go to Romania, they go to Togo, they go to whatever Latin America, whatever place they go, you guys go, or the church go, they go because of what the Lord is doing in the church. And I believe personally that we cannot work alone as a church. We have to be in partnership with other churches, with other ministries, as we come together, as we pray together, as we see the vision together, as we ask God to raise people together and send us to go, then we are a blessing to other nations. So the Lord called Saul and or Barnabas and Saul to go, and they lay hands on them. They pray for them. They recognize that now that you go, you are going because of us. We are releasing you to go to be a blessing to the nations. We are releasing you to go and share the word with other people and be a light to the nation. They commission them and tell them, you go. We will be praying with you. If you have a problem will be our problem. Your difficulties will be our difficulties. Your challenges will be our challenges. And so they release them to go. This is the first time this is happening. Never happened in any church before. In Jerusalem, this didn't take place. It's taking place now that God is raising missionaries, is raising people to go and be light to the nations. So when Barnabas and Saul went, they begin to share the good news. They begin to preach the good news. They begin to share salvation to other people. Now, this word of salvation, I said it before in this church, and I'm saying it again. This word salvation is a very profound word, for it gives us a notion of God coming to us and to free us from a dark, dark world, to give us a light and to reconcile us with Him, Himself through Christ. And this is what God was doing through these missionaries. They identified themselves with the church and sent them and released them to go to be a blessing to the nations. This is a great example for us to follow, as I said, as a great church, as a sending church, that God is calling us to not only be leaders, not only go to share, but also to be missionaries. And I'm sure there might be some people here who God is speaking to right now, or maybe have been speaking to be missionaries around the world. Maybe it might not have to be Togo. If you come to Togo, you're going to sweat a lot. But you can go to Russia, or you can go to Romania, or you can go to Europe, or go somewhere. But the great example we see in this church is that God was raising people to be missionaries and go around the world and share the word of God with them. And finally, a sending church a great church or a sending church not only raise ordinary people, not only raise ordinary leaders, but also a sending church is a church that is very gracious in giving and gracious in, or generous in giving and gracious in giving. And what we see here is that we see that there is a great famine that is taking place around the world that was predicted by a man called Agabus. And Agabus said, well, a famine is going to happen. And all of a sudden, they get together and begin to pray and ask themselves, what can we do to help the brothers around the world in Judea at that time? What can we do? What can we do? And immediately, they didn't ask how much I can give or how much they need. What they did is they begin to pray according to their ability. And then they begin to say, well, whatever God has for me, I am going to use that to be a blessing to other brothers and nations around the world. And so a sending church not only raises a different kind of people, but a sending church is a church that is very gracious, is a church that is very generous in giving. Well, they were giving sacrificially so that the kingdom of God might take place around the world. And brothers and sisters, I suggest to you that if we are going to be a great sending church, not only we ought to be raising up ordinary people like you and I to be a blessing to the nations, we ought to raise also ordinary leaders to do extraordinary things. We also ought to be generous in giving. And the question I have this morning for us is for you to think about is, are you a generous church? Are you a gracious church? Are you a church that is full with ordinary people who can do extraordinary things? Are you able to send people out of this church to be a blessing to other churches? And this is something that we and we alone must respond. A sending church is a church that listens to the word, listens to God, and responds to God. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that we can use this church in Antioch to be a model and example for us. And I pray this morning that you help us. Even with my little English accent, you will speak to us. That you will speak to us this morning. That we will not only be believers, followers of Christ, but we will be a great sending church from here in Safe Harbor to be a blessing to the nation. And I pray that you do that with us this morning. Amen.